Okay, so good evening, everyone. Usually at this time at 8 o'clock on a Thursday night, I usually give a parsha class. Obviously, this Shabbos is Rosh Hashanah, so we don't read one the regular parshios of the Torah. Instead, we read the readings for Rosh Hashanah, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the story of Hagar and Yishmael, the second day, the story of Akedas Yitzchak. What I want to do this evening, instead of focusing on the Torah reading, is not so much to give a shiur, but more to give, I guess, words of chizuk, words of encouragement. And I'm talking equally to myself as to each and every one of you as well. This year, as we know, everything has been different this year. Just about everything has been a challenge. And davening on Rosh Hashanah this year certainly is going to be different. And I think for many of us, is going to be quite a challenge as well. And I think the only thing that maybe we can take comfort is the fact that it's going to be different and challenging for everyone. Whether you're going to be davening at home, because that's what is medically advised for you to do. And I just want to say from the outset that if that's medically advised, then that's what you must do. You shouldn't feel guilty. You shouldn't try to cheat and say, well, I'm going to go to shul, even though the doctor said I shouldn't. No, if you're supposed to be home, then you need to be home. So it's going to be very difficult. If for years and years you've gone to shul every year, Rosh Hashanah, and so many tunes, and being with family and friends has been so powerful and so empowering. And now you're going to be home by yourself with your spouse, just with a few other people. It's going to be very difficult. It's going to be difficult for parents with young children. In shul every year, we always try to provide opportunities for the children to have babysitting and programming so the parents can come to shul. Some parents will be able to juggle. One spouse can go to an earlier minyan, one spouse to a later minyan. And for some, for a variety of reasons, that won't work. And therefore, you're going to be home with your children. And that will not make it easy for you to daven. I'll never forget that one of my a friend of mine once told me when he'd gotten married. He was married for a couple of years, had a little child, maybe a year and a half old, and he was living, I believe, in Teaneck, New Jersey at the time. And he had a dilemma. His wife left quite early to go to work each morning. He went a little bit later to work, and he was home with his young daughter, and he had two options for davening. One option was to go to a very early minyan that was, I guess, in the neighborhood. The problem with that minyan was that it really was halachically a little bit questionable. Sometimes they davened before really the proper time for davening. The other option was his wife and Art would then leave, and the other option would be then to daven at home, but he had his one-year-old at home. And you know what it's like trying to watch a one-year-old. And so he asked our teacher, of Herschel Schechter, what he should do. And Herschel Schechter said, well, you can't daven at the early minyan. That's before the times. That's, daven's shachris so early. But then he said, but I'm at home, my daughter, I can barely concentrate. So Schechter responded. He said, well, that's part of being a father. That's part of being a parent. But that's it's a bracha of parenthood. So it's a bracha of parenthood. But obviously, it's also can be, it's perfectly to feel this way. It can be very frustrating. Again, especially this year when maybe in past years we had opportunities for babysitting and programming. And this year, that's not going to be happening. So, to daven at home to begin with is going to be difficult. And especially with little children, it's obviously going to be quite challenging. And then even for those who are going to be in shul this year, it's going to be different. It's not going to be the same for safety reasons. We're taking out a number of the piyutim that we usually recite. We're not going to be all diving together. I would imagine, and I'm almost positive, the call, the voice, that strong voice that emanates with everyone singing together, is just not going to be exist this year. We have two of our minyanim are going to be half inside, half outside. It's hard to hear one another. It's hard to sing together. We're going to have to limit the singing. because of COVID. We'll be rushing things a little more. It's not going to be the same experience, and I think for many people, they'll probably walk away a little frustrated and quite disappointed. And so what are we to do? You know, how are we to react, respond to this changed reality, and one that I think is going to be very upsetting and disappointing for many of us? Is there any way to try to make it a little better, to try to ease the pain of the suffering, and to make it meaningful? So I have a couple of suggestions. These are random ideas. And I think and I hope that maybe some of them could be helpful. So the first thing is just to remember, just what I just said, is that we're all in the same boat. Whether you're here in Southfield, whether you're somewhere else around the country, whether you're in Israel, South Africa, Australia, England, wherever you are, every Jew around the world is in the same predicament. Everyone is davening is going to be impacted. And not going to be the same what they're used to. All right, in Israel they're going into lockdown, and I don't know exactly what that means and how they're gonna be able to have everything the davening, but wherever you are, every single Jew in the world, your davening is going to be different this year. So you know, the idea in Tehillim of Imo Anochi Betzara, that God says I am with you in your distress. So I think every Jew is with every other Jew in their tzara and their distress this year. We're all facing the same challenge this year. So I don't know if that makes you feel good that you're not the only one suffering. So that's something to take comfort in. But it is the reality that everyone is going to be impacted. Everyone is affected by what's going on around the world by this pandemic. So what can we do, however, to maybe make it a little bit more meaningful, to tolerate a little better, and maybe even to make it inspiring and uplifting? And I dare suggest, as I did prior to Pesach, maybe make it even unbelievable, maybe to make it incredible, maybe to far exceed our expectations, and to maybe this past year for your Seder, which was going into it, you were really despondent and disappointed and frustrated. Maybe you had an incredible experience or something far surpassed what you thought originally would have been. Maybe not. Maybe it didn't take place. Didn't happen. But, you know, maybe for Rosh Hashanah as well, maybe it can really be not only tolerable, but maybe really special as well. So the first thing I would suggest, and this is something my wife does every year, and this is good, you know, COVID, not COVID, is between now and Rosh Hashanah to make a list. To literally write down what you want to daven for. You know, what's on your mind? What are you concerned about? What are your dreams or aspirations for this upcoming year? What do you really wish that would be different? And are there people that you love that are facing a very difficult, challenging situation financially, health-wise? Shidduchim, wanting to have children. Make a list. And, you know, the list can be, my wife's list, she has one page, but it's in small, tiny print. It must be, I don't know, 100 lines, probably more on the page. And something very beautiful, I never knew she did this until a few days ago, she actually reads the list from the previous year, a few days before the next Rosh Hashanah. You know, a year later, she holds on to the list. And one of the beautiful things, it can be very sad because there's certain things that you daven for and it didn't come to fruition. Maybe people that you hoped would be healed, unfortunately, have passed away over the previous year, and another very sad and disappointing and painful things. But also, you'd also be able to see how many wonderful things occur, how many things you never imagined, how many things that you're down for actually were answered. So it can be very empowering a year from now to look back on the list, but especially on Rosh Hashanah to have that list with you, to put it in your siddur, and while you're davening. Especially, you know, this year if you're davening at home, so you're not rushed by the chazan and have to keep up. You can like constantly look at it and reflect upon what's there, and the value in doing this again before Rosh Hashanah is because it really forces you to think about, you know, what is important to me. You know, what are my dreams? What are my hopes? My aspirations? My fears? My worries? And what do I want to say to Hashem about those feelings and emotions? You know, how can I express them to Hashem? How can I cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What am I thankful for? What can I say to Hashem, thank you? This past year, this couple wonderful things happened. Even though COVID was going on, there were some great things that happened in my life and my family life that I'm very blessed for. I want to express that gratitude as well. So this can be very, I think, powerful. Again, this is whether you're diving at home, whether you're going to be in shul, to make this list. Spend some time tonight, tomorrow, and to create this list. What is it that you want to daven for? The next thing, and this is, this applies both places, but I think it's especially important for those of us going to be davening at home this year, is that we know in shul there's an idea of a makom kavua. Right, you have a set place. Everyone knows this is my seat. So what's so important about having your seat? You know they advertise at the ballparks. Every seat is a good seat, right? You can see the field from every location. So why in shul do you need a makom kavua? So there's a couple reasons. And the idea of a makom kavua, set place, is the Gemara tells us you should have a makom kavua. A quick side note with the makom kavua, it doesn't have to be the exact seat. As long as if you're within four amos, within 6 feet, that's considered to be your makom kavua. And I'll explain in a second why that is. That's why if you come to shul a little later, someone arrives before you and they're sitting in your seat, there's no reason to ask them to move. In fact, that's not a nice thing to do. That can become quite embarrassing, hurtful to the person who sat there beforehand. You sit the next seat over. It's totally perfectly fine. Halakhically, there's nothing wrong with that. But why do we have a makom kavua? So one reason why we have a makom kavua is because it shows that we take davening seriously, not haphazard. We don't come in and out whenever we want, but this is my place, right? And just like you have, this is my home and this is my place where I go to work. Like, this is the place where I daven, right? Day in and day out, every Shabbos, this is where I come. And it just demonstrates that this is something which is kavua, which is set in my life. This is a priority. That's one reason. Another reason that's given why we have a makom kavua is because it helps to take, and this is, I think, this next reason is going to relate specifically to us in our situation today, is that it helps eliminate distractions. When you go to another shul, right, and you're visiting another shul, so often, what do you do when you go to that other shul? You're looking around. You're looking at what's on the wall. Who are the people? You're looking at the seats. Looking at the what does the machitza look like? What the Aron Kodesh look like? You're in a new place. It's just natural to look around. But when you go to the same shul over and over again, you're in the same place. So what it looks like. Who sits next to you, and it's sort of like driving. Which is just like automatic. Every day you go to work, take the same route. You just know what you're doing, and you can just. You don't have to focus on the distractions. You can just move ahead. And so when you have a makom kavua, a set place, so you're not going to be distracted. There's not going to be different people near you. There's not going to be different things to look at. And that's why, by the way, that's why it doesn't matter if you don't sit the exact same seat. As long as you're in the same general area, it accomplishes the same thing because you're familiar with that area. So here's my suggestion. My suggestion is that in your house, have a makom kavua. Make sure that and we probably do this. We often daven home. Certainly, we've been davening at home a lot this past year. But make sure that not only do you have a set place to daven in your dining room, in your living room, but make sure that you have the right chair, the chair that you like, that the table is clear, that your sitter is there, your machzer is prepared. That there aren't anything that's gonna distract you in that area. That this is your place for tefillah, because you can't go to shul, but I can go to this location, right? This location is the place for my tefillah for this year, and make sure to create an environment where it's gonna be conducive for that davening. Okay, that's. So that's number two. Again, the first thing, my first suggestion is to make the list of things you're going to daven for. The second suggestion is to have that makom kavua, that set place that's prepared and ready and for you to go to and to daven. The next thing, again, this is whether you're in shul, not in shul, and this is always a good idea. But again, between now and tomorrow, So to look at the machzer and to you know, do some planning in advance of looking through the words, have a machzer with the translation, if that you'll find that helpful, and you know, prepare in advance, and to really think about you know, the words and what tfilos you're going to find meaningful. So one of the options you have by davening at those who are going to be davening at home this year is that, you know, in terms of what to say, what not to say. So I just emailed something out from the shul Hadrash a while ago. You know, the davening, you know, what do you have to say when you're home? So what you say is basically a regular Shabbos Yontif davening. You'll say the Psukei Dezimra. You'll say the Kriya Shema with its brachos. You'll say the Shemona Esrei. You can read through the Torah reading. You can say Musaf. You know, you basically do a regular davening. You know, what makes Rosh Hashanah davening so much longer than a regular year? So certainly the Musaf Shemona Esrei that you'll recite at home is a longer Shemona Esrei than normal. That's right. There's a three middle brachos, Malchios, Sechonos, Shofros. But what really makes the davening so long, besides all the Mishnah Berachs that people get aliyahs, which we're actually eliminating in Shul this year, but takes the extra amount of time is the piyuta. Many of these extra liturgical poems that we're very familiar with, and that really that we often sing and make the davening so meaningful. The most famous, of course, is Unisana Tokef. And Unisana Tokef is not the actual part of the formal davening. It's not part of the your Shemon Esrei. It's the Chazan's repetition of Musaf. So technically, you don't at home. You don't have to say it. But I imagine everyone is going to say it, because for many of us, that's a very powerful moment when we say Unisana Tokef. You know, and especially this year, and actually one of the things I challenge you to do in your davening this year, normally, understandably, don't usually pay attention to this, but think about, as you go through the davening, how many times we pray that we shouldn't be impacted by a machala, by a magefa, by a plague. You'll see it's multiple times in the davening. You know, people who say that this pandemic is so unprecedented don't know history. The pandemics are not unprecedented. Epidemics, pandemics, in our times we haven't experienced it, but they throughout history they happened all the time. This summer I read a biography about Jefferson, and so in 1793 there was a yellow fever epidemic in Philadelphia, and you know, people had to flee the city. He actually stayed, Jefferson. He was a tough guy. He didn't get sick. Washington fled the city in 1793, and Hamilton did not. Hamilton got sick. He got really sick. He almost died from it. He recovered. Jefferson was fine. It actually said that it was brought about by mosquitoes. It was basically over after the summer, but they said life didn't return to normal until Philadelphia, until people felt comfortable back in the city, until sometime in the spring. So, you know, living with a pandemic, an epidemic, was really a part of life for centuries, millennia in history. And so, if you look in the davening, you know, again, and it's in the Sana Toka, you know, we Miba Geifa. So again, that's very powerful. You know, who will live, who will die? You know, by a plague. And you'll see in Avina Malkeinu, which we don't say the first day because it's Shabbos, but the second day. So there's lots of things in the tefillah that speak to us. And especially when you're davening at home and you can also be as rushed to keep up with the chaz and where the shul's up to, you know, every once in a while you glance over at the translations and really, you know, reflect and think upon the words that we are reciting. And so, again, it's helpful to prepare in advance if you have time to now and Rosh Hashanah. And if not, on Rosh Hashanah itself, take your time and really look at the words. And you can choose which piyutim you want to say, which ones you don't want to say. You know, if a piyut doesn't look so meaningful, if usually, it doesn't really speak to you, so skip it. Skip it. You know, you choose those piyutim that you'll find meaningful. And again, you know, the ones I would suggest, you know, is Nisana Tokef. I have an article master in front of me. You know, the Sana Tokef is on page 480 in the Art School Machzer. You know, many people many people find very, very powerful. 488, Chamal al Masecha, Passion on Your Handiwork, V'chol Ma'aminim is on page 490, and many other piyutim. Okay, you don't have to say all of these, and you can pick and choose the ones that you feel are, and these are all in the repetition. So, you know, you'll say your if you're at home, you'll say your Shmone Esrei, you'll say your Shachar Shmone Esrei, Moshe Shmone Esrei, and then go to the Chazan's repetition. You're not going to do the formal repetition. You're not going to do Baruch Atah Hashem. Like, you're not going to repeat the Shmone Esrei, but you can go to these added poems, these added piyutim that are not part of what you'll have said privately. They're just added in the repetition, and those you're welcome to recite. And again, you know, really look at them and think upon them and reflect upon, you know, their messages and the themes and which ones speak to you. Okay. So that was the third suggestion. Again, the first is to make a list of what to daven for. Second is to have that set place, that makom kavua. And now the third one is to really, you know, try to look at the machzer and find those tefillos that speak to you. You know, maybe one day do some and do some other ones the second day. You know, whatever works for you, make it meaningful. You know, make it meaningful. And sing. Right? Whether you're home with your spouse, you're home by yourself, you know, you're with a couple other people in the household, sing, you know, and if you don't have the greatest voice, so no one's going to hear you, right? No one's going to look at you, and while you're ruining, you know, the tune for everyone else, you know, pretend you're Pavarotti, pretend you're Joseph Michael Greenbaum, and just, you're Alan Schwartz, and just sing away. And, you know, if you forget some of the tunes, so last night we had that nice program with Joseph Greenbaum, and we recorded it on YouTube, and it's sent out on the show WhatsApp chat, so you can listen to it. You can just go to YouTube and just type in Joseph Greenbaum, you'll find it, and you know, sing away, right? Just have a great time singing. Make up your own tunes. You know, there's some philos that don't have tunes, so there's a certain tune that you like, so just put it to the words. And that's what they do with the little kids in school, the sing song. You know, they teach them the davening and the benching using popular tunes. So use a nice Jewish tune and go in and just enjoy the singing. If you have little kids at home, so again, that's going to make it very, very challenging if you have little kids. So, you know, some suggestions could be, you know, this is not easy, but to maybe some activities that the kids can do on their own. So, again, maybe you only get 20 minutes. Maybe you only get a half an hour, but if there's something that your little ones can be entertained by themselves for a little bit, and you can have a little bit of a quiet time, so plan your day, or you know from 10 to 10:30, they're usually occupied with XYZ, but starting 11 o'clock, I'm totally, so not going to work to down 11 o'clock, but at 10 o'clock, or let's say you know when nap time is. So let's say, you know, you'd like to dive in the morning, but nap time's from 1 to 2. So dive in from 1 to 2 when the kids are taking a nap. You know, we'll have to be a little flexible, you know, figure out a way, you know, where you can have a little bit of quiet time and be able to daven. Again, if your spouse is going to shul and you can't go to shul, so maybe your spouse will be there in the morning, but ask your spouse to take the kids in the afternoon so you could daven then. Okay. The next thing I would suggest is, and it's somewhat related to makom kavua, to a set place, is get dressed up. You know, put on your yontif clothes. Make it be yontif. It's interesting, in Rosh Hashanah, we don't get all fapitzed. You know, we don't put on our fanciest, you don't put on your wedding gown because it's Yom HaDin, the Day of Judgment. But at the same time, it's yontif, and you're supposed to dress not nicely. So even though you're not going to be in shul and there's no one to impress, there's no one to see your new suit, your new tie, your new dress, but you're standing, you're only b'lifnei Hashem. You're standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem will see you that you took the time to, you know, put on something nice. You'll feel good, and you'll, again, hopefully it'll help you, you know, be placed into the yontif mood, and the yontif environment. So get dressed up, put on some nice Shabbos yontif clothing. And again, even that makom kavua, maybe put a nice white tablecloth. Now, if you're davening in the living room or something, you have a little small table there. So we know everything's in white on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So, you know, if normally there's a green tablecloth, put on a white tablecloth, you know, make it look Rosh Hashanah, right? You know, you don't want to have a Torah that's in white, but you can have your, you know, the table can be covered in white. You know, maybe buy some white some flowers tomorrow that are white roses or something white, so that, you know, you just sort of create that environment that makes it look and feel Rosh Hashanah. And now I want to, so those are most of my suggestions. I just want to end off saying a couple final points. And that is, if it doesn't work out, it's okay. If you try all these things and for whatever reason it just wasn't, you know, didn't do it for you, and you feel disappointed, you feel upset, depressed, that's fine. I mean, in other words, I you know, every year before Yom Kippur, I get phone calls about people, questions about whether they should fast or not, you know, questions of health. I sent an drusha recently. It has to be one of my favorite times of the year because I always find out who's pregnant right before Yom Kippur and before Tisha B'Av. And I'm often the first one to know. I don't tell my wife. I keep it a secret. Because, you know, women just find out they're pregnant and they want to know about fasting. And you know, from time to time, it's a real serious issue. People call me about it. There's diabetes, there's heart conditions. And often the halacha will say that the person cannot fast. You're not allowed to fast. And, you know, on several occasions when I've had this conversation with people, that they're so disappointed. And it's very upsetting because for 50 years, you know, since Bas Mitzvah, since Bar Mitzvah, they've never missed a fast on Yom Kippur. And how can a Jew eat on Yom Kippur? It's very painful. And so what I always tell them is that, listen, for the past 50 years, God wanted you to fast. That was what was required of you. That was expected of you. And that's you as a committed Jew. That's what you did. Well, guess what? You know what Hashem is commanding you this year? He's commanding you to eat, to not fast. That is your mitzvah. Your mitzvah this year is to take care of yourself, to make sure that you are healthy. And if you fast this year, it's not what God wants. All right? You're not doing something that's going to be pleasing in God's eyes. If you eat, God will give you a high five. Yasher koach. You took care of yourself. You made sure you were healthy. And so I want to suggest, you know, that this year, I don't know why this pandemic has affected the world. You know, we should all think about, you know, how you'll see my drasha I sent out a little while ago about how this we need to learn from the experience, and hopefully what's happened is it will transform us, that there's things that we've all done and experienced that will impact us in a positive way moving forward in terms of what we've learned and what we've experienced. But at the same time, this pandemic has wreaked havoc on our lives. And when it comes to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it's just, for no reason, Hashem is saying not the same this year. Hashem is telling us not business as usual. You're not gonna have your packed shul with everyone singing together. Some of you are forbidden. God is telling you, you're forbidden from entering a shul. You need to make sure that you take care of your health, listen to your doctors, and stay far away. And this is what I want. This is how you must observe Rosh Hashanah this year. And if you go to shul and take a risk, I don't want your tefillos, Hashem is saying. I don't need it. I need you to do something else this year. And so I think it's, and that's bitachon. You know, bitachon, having faith. My wife told me she listened to Rabbi Krohn the other night, who spoke to the community in Detroit on behalf of the Kollel. And, you know, Rabbi Krohn, you know, cited the famous idea that when we say a Jew should have faith, it doesn't mean that you have faith that what you want is going to happen. Right? That's absurd. Right? It's not that, that's not what faith is. Faith is that what does happen is what God wanted. Right? And that I'm Baruch Dayan Ames. I bless God, and he was a true judge. no matter what occurs. And I realize that things are beyond my control. Those the bitachon is that there is a plan. I don't understand the plan, doesn't make sense to me, but the bitachon is that Hashem knows what he's doing. And that how things play themselves out is ultimately the will of God, even though for me it can be very difficult and painful. And therefore, you know, for that reason, the ruts on Hashem, the will of God this year is that there's this pandemic. And it's going to impact us and affect us. Certainly, it has done so, and it's going to continue to do so. And on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur this year, and therefore, my responsibility is to make the best of the situation, and you know maybe to use some of these strategies that I've outlined to make the davening meaningful for me. And again, as I said before, you know you might surprise yourself. You might find it incredibly beautiful and empowering. In fact, I know amongst my rabbinic colleagues, one of our big concerns that we talked about last couple of months is that people have enjoyed davening at home too much. You know, people have found, well, you know, I know my own family, Friday night during, you know, the lockdown, my wife, some of the people called me last night after our program. They saw my wife and I sitting next to each other, davening together, singing along with Joseph. I said, hey, the rabbi's sitting next, davening next to his wife. Right, that doesn't happen in shul, right? There's mechitza. But when we were at home, their own family, so we could all sit together. And I know, again, for my family, Friday night, we did we sang Kabbalah Shabbos together, the whole family, all the kids. It was beautiful and special. And then when I went back to shul the first Shabbos, I wasn't davening together with my family. We took away a lot of the singing because the doctors recommended that singing is whatever additional particles emanate from your mouth, you know, for the greater velocity, it's more compromising, and therefore we've limited the singing in shul as well as what's going to happen in Rosh Hashanah as well this year. And therefore, again, amongst my rabbinic colleagues, it's sort of been like it was too good for too many people. Too many people enjoyed davening at home, and so the question is, how do you get people back? How do you realize that, like, ideally you're supposed to have a betzibur? Well, now with the community, even though it's not the most always necessarily the most meaningful and inspiring tefillah, but nonetheless, that's part of a tzibur, is that we daven together. Hashem, Hashem loves the fact when Klal Yisrael comes together, we daven as one. But again, but this year that's not the case. This year, for many of us, we cannot and should not be tzibur. We need to be at home to make sure that we can do all that we can. Keep ourselves safe and secure. Some of us, again, with the children, it's just not going to work out to be in shul, and we're going to be at home, and that's okay. So that's okay. That's what Hashem is desiring and telling us to do this year. So if it's not so inspirational, not so inspiring, so it is what it is, and that's what Hashem is telling us this year. But I think also, if we really take the time to think about the tefillah, and we make sure that the environment is a good environment, and we get dressed up, and we sing, and we look at the words, and we create that list of things that we really wanted to daven for, so we can make the most of it. We can make it special. We can make it meaningful, and the most important thing, whether you're in shul, not in shul, whatever it is that our tefillah should be heard by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right, that we should do the best that we can, and that put our heart into everything, and to and let HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what Rosh Hashanah is all about the Hashem, the Melech, the King, hearing our tefillos and us embracing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem should see our desires. Hashem should see our pain this year and how difficult this past year has been, and Hashem should respond accordingly. Hashem should have rachmanis, compassion and mercy upon us. Hashem should respond favorably to our requests, and he should grant us a year of life and of blessing, and a year of sweetness. God willing, we'll be able to impart those feelings to our Kadosh Baruch Hu, and in return Hashem will hopefully positively answer our tefillos l'tova for good. Wish everyone a ksiva v'chasima tova, a good geben shiur, shana tova, And again, it should just be, it could be as meaningful as possible. And God willing, only your blessings and sweetness moving forward.